All right, this morning we are going to continue on a word from Jeremiah.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Father, we choose to worship you today. We thank you, Lord, for our time of worship together, and we thank you, Lord, for this house of God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives, and Lord, in this world around us. We thank you that we can be salt, that we can be light, and we can be your people, called, set apart for your glory. Lord, would you change us? Would you work in us in the name of Jesus? And Lord, as we dig into your word, that you would use it this morning to change us. In Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. 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 You know, as I was off, and even in the bed of affliction, God can minister to us. Amen. And this morning's message is a continuation. I know that we've had a week in between, and last week I appreciate so much the word that Pastor Aaron brought. He hasn't done it yet, but he what? He will. He will. And I do have to make a clarification, though. As I was listening, and I thought through my coughing last week as I was listening to the broadcast, that I heard Pastor Aaron say something like, you know, last week was Pastor Appreciation. Pastor Jerry did not even show up to say thank you. Did I hear that correctly? Well, I'm showing up today to say thank you on behalf of Laura and I. And we even went a step above, and there's a card out there that I wrote, so thanking you guys. But so much, we do appreciate that. But I thought, surely he didn't say that. Yes, he did. But then I also heard him say, well, Pastor, you asked me to speak, so you get what you get. You know? So, amen. How many of you appreciate him? And God is just bringing wonderful words through him. All right, this morning we are going to continue on a word from Jeremiah. And I'm expecting totally the Lord to speak to us today through these passages that we're going to be sharing. And God has been ministering to me as we've been going through this. But again, turning over to the book of Jeremiah, I always like to begin here in Jeremiah chapter 1, but this time starting in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came to me. Came to who? Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and says, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. How many of us have ever made excuses why we can't do what God has asked us to do? Whatever it is, oh, I'm a child, or I can't speak, or I can't memorize scripture, or I can't. That flies in God's face when God says, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send you to, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Now, I want us to pay particular attention to that last verse. In verse 8, Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Can we read that last part again? For I am with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Now, here we have one of the things that God says He is. I am your what? Deliverer. So we're going to pay particular attention to that verse as we dig into what I call, again, the subtitle of Jeremiah, a word from Jeremiah, part 5, and here it is. Fulfilling God's call won't always be easy. Can I say that again? Fulfilling God's call on our lives will not always be easy. Now you know what this message is going to be about today, don't you? So many times we think of all the promises of God and we say, well, if I do what God's asked me to do, everything's going to be peachy keen. Another prophecy that we will begin here in Jeremiah that God gives Jeremiah is in chapter 37. Now, last time that I spoke, we covered the entire chapter of chapter 36. And I don't really know how many parts of this message will come, but I know there's so much in here that we do not want to miss. So here we go, Jeremiah chapter 37 right now. As we begin, Jeremiah gives a prophecy. Starting in verse 6, everybody there with me. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Thus shall you say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me. Behold, Pharaoh's army, which has come forth to meet you, shall return to Egypt unto their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, Deceive not yourselves, saying, The Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though you had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remains but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man into his tent and burn this city with fire. Now, how many of you know that is not a feel-good prophecy? Now, seriously, if someone came to you and says, Thus saith the Lord, your house is going to be destroyed, and everything in it. You will become a beggar out on the streets. Isn't that a wonderful prophecy? That's hard. That's hard. But Jeremiah has to bring what God has given to him to bring. Many would think, okay, I'm a prophet. Now I've delivered what God has given me. He's going to take care of me. He's going to bless me, right? The blessing should come. Here's the answer to that, John. No. Because what follows this? Let's take a look at what follows this in 11 through 16. And it came to pass when the army of the Chaldeans was broken up from Jerusalem for fear of Pharaoh's army. Then Jeremiah went forth out of Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin to separate himself thence from the midst of the people. And he was in the gate of Benjamin. A captain of the ward was there whose name was Arijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he took Jeremiah the prophet, saying, You fall away with the Chaldeans. How many of you ever been falsely accused? Well, this is exactly what's happening here with Jeremiah. He was trying to separate himself to get away back into the presence of God when this man grabbed him and said, You're a traitor. You're going away with the Chaldeans. You are a traitor. Then said Jeremiah, it's false. I'm not falling away with the Chaldeans, but he did not hearken him. So Elijah took Jeremiah and brought him to the princes. Wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah and smote him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan, the scribe that they had made in that prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. What happens to Jeremiah? He's grabbed. He's thrown into prison. And we're going to talk about this just for a minute here, because here's the thing, folks. God will always keep His word. And what did He promise Jeremiah back in Jeremiah chapter 1 that He would deliver from their faces? So though he now in prison, I want you to see a bit of deliverance right here. Okay? Chapter, again, the same chapter 37, verse 17. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in the house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For he said, you shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. Not exactly what Zedekiah wanted to hear. Moreover, Jeremiah said unto the king, Jeremiah, what have I offended against you, or against your servants, or against this people, that you have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, or against this land? Therefore, hear now, I pray you, O my Lord the king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before you, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. All right. Do we understand what's going on here right now? So God promised that there would be deliverance, and God fulfilled His word. Secretly, the king brings him up, and now he's taken out of the dungeon, and he's just put into the court of the prison. Now, for those of you that do not understand this, I'm going to explain what this place was as far as the court of the prison and the dungeons and the cells here in just a minute. But I want to bring up another point. Just because doesn't mean that the enemy is going to give up. How many of you, God has delivered you from something? That means you're scot-free for the rest of your life, right? Absolutely not. For what does the enemy come to do? Thank you. Kill, steal, and destroy. Do you think that the devil is going to give up because God gave you a deliverance one time? Some people actually think that. That God delivered me and I'll have no more problems with this enemy. But I want you to know that as long as you continue to push forward, does the scripture tell you that you're supposed to push forward, Kathy? Jesus said something like this, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. That means, as I've said often in the past, that the church is supposed to be on the move against the gates of hell. So oftentimes, the church gets it backwards and say, well, we're just supposed to stand back here and let the devil attack us. That's not the case. And Jeremiah did never stop bringing the word of God. And so he has a reprieve here. He's now out of this dungeon, but that does not mean that the enemy is going to give up, folks. Look now as we continue the story. Chapter 38, then Shephatiah, the son of Matan of Gedaliah, at the son of Pesher, and Jehu, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Melchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, that he remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, but he that goes forth to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life for a prey, and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given to the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, again, the same king that brought him up out of the prison, King, we beseech you, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakens the hands of the men of war that remain in the city, and the hands of all the people that speak of such words for them, for this man seeketh not the welfare of this people. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Wow, what kind of a guy is this? What kind of a king is this? Who secretly brings Jeremiah up for a word and then takes him and gives him some reprieve and then turns around and says to these folks, I can't do anything. I can't do a thing. Take him. Do what you want with him. So they took Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamalech, that was in the court of the prison, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire, so Jeremiah sunk into the mire. All right. We now have a picture here of this dungeon. And I want to explain it to you and what this thing actually was. Because I did some research on this, and he was thrown into the dungeon. But if you go back and look at verse 16 earlier, Jeremiah was thrown into the dungeons and into the cabins. Now, most people don't have a clue what this is speaking about. But in Jeremiah's day, and even further on past his day, one of the things that they did for those that were people that they wanted to cast in prison, that were bad people, that had done things, is they created something called a dungeon. Now, this dungeon was between 30 and 50 foot deep, where they would dig down into the earth, and they would dig down, and the very bottom of this dungeon was about probably 15 to 20 feet across. Now, but it was pear-shaped. So at the bottom of this dungeon, it was wider, and then it came up like a pear up to the top, and then there was about probably 3 to 5 foot at the top of the opening. Now, what it was designed for is for torture of prisoners that were going to be put down in this place. Now, about 15 to 20 foot down, as it came into this pear shape, they carved out what were called cabins or cells in that about 15 to 20 foot going down, so that this was for individuals that they wanted to put into these cabins to let them live a little longer, but be tortured longer. And so they would let down a rope for those in the cabins, and this is again what happened to Jeremiah. They let him down, and then they swung him over to one of those caves or cabins that was cut out in the side of this dungeon. Again, to keep them alive, but here's the thing, folks. At 30 feet down, 25, 30 feet down, how much oxygen is there? There's just enough to barely survive, but it was designed for torture so that you barely get your breath. Now, one of the other things that was lower in the very bottom of that was called the mire. And that was the place where it was muddy. And guess what else, folks? As they put folks in these cabins around, there were human excrement that were coming out of those individuals down into this mire. I know that's nasty to think about, but I want you to understand that the second time that they put Jeremiah down, they didn't put him into the cabins. The first time they did, and then Zedekiah brought him back up out of there. The second time they dropped him down into the middle, into the mire. And Jeremiah began to sink in that mud and that excrement and human feces that were there in that place. And as I was preparing for this message, I began to think about how much in my discomfort through the things that have happened to me that I have complained about what I'm going through. And I want you to think about this for just a minute. How many of us have complained about what we are going through? And yet, has it ever reached what Jeremiah went through? And scriptures say that he was there for many days. And God just really began to break my heart. You see, we know this, that when we are called to the work of God, that things will happen to us. When we faithfully do what God has asked us to do, I don't care what it is, whatever your ministry is, if your ministry is intercessory prayer, if your ministry is teaching, your ministry is preaching, your ministry is serving others, the more that you serve, the more that you do the calling that God has asked you to do, you are going into enemy territory and you are standing for the name of Jesus. And I truly believe that when we do this, the attacks will come. Truly believe that. And it's important for us to understand that we have not suffered what many of these prophets have gone through. Can you imagine many days in this place? Many days. Jeremiah was in both those cabins on the side and he was in the bottom of the mire. Why? Because he was bringing the word of God. He was doing what God asked. So think it not such a strange thing that should happen to you. So many times in this Christianity that we walk today, we only want the blessings of God. We've been taught many, many times in many years, God wants to bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. But listen, folks, to do the things that God has asked you to do, there's a price. And Jeremiah knew exactly what that price was. But I have another point here that I want to bring out, that until our purpose is fulfilled, God will continue to deliver you. I don't care what you're in, God will continue to deliver you until your purpose is done on this earth. Now we look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and it's a great chapter that talks about the faith of many people. We look at that and we say, that's wonderful. We want to have that kind of faith. But at the end of that chapter, how many of you know that it says, many were cut in half. Many had their heads cut off. Many suffered in dungeons. Many suffered the things at the hands of the enemy because of their faith in God. And because of their faith in continuing. So here's my question. Will we continue doing what God has asked us to do? Even though you know, like Jeremiah, God told him that he was going to suffer many things, that they would not listen to him, but yet he continued on. How many of us say, that's me, God? I want you to understand that that commitment is vital, because Jesus makes a statement like this. He says, he that puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom of God. So what God's asking us to do, and as he spoke to us earlier, that he wants our whole heart. He doesn't want just part of it. And when things get tough, when persecution starts to happen, that we back away and say, I didn't sign up for this. Lord, you have my heart. We must commit to this that God is asking us to do. But until our purpose is fulfilled, God will continue to deliver us. One of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them from how many of them? All of them. Thank you, Sister Sheila. All of them. Because until our purpose is completed here on this earth, the Lord will continue to deliver from each one of these afflictions. He is faithful, he is just, and he will continue to do it. And that's why he says for us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because we know that the deliverance is coming. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so here he is in this dungeon. And I almost said, Lord, I don't know if I want to explain what this dungeon really was. But the Lord says, explain it. Because we need to know where he was. When someone goes into that mire, they are sinking slowly. And eventually, they go head under. How many of you know there's not any air underneath that mire? And it's a way of torture. And so you're waiting for your death. God's deliverance one more time. Look at verse 7. Now, chapter 38, verse 7. Now when Ebed-Melech, how many of you like a name like that? Yeah. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon. The king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech, went forth out of the king's house, and he spoke to the king, saying, my lord the king. Now I want you to know, how many of you know that whole story of Esther? And Esther coming before the king, she wasn't sure, because that was not legal. You could not just come before the king. Exactly the same thing with Ebed-Melech. God put it upon his heart, and he came before that king, and he spoke to the king. He said, my lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, take from thence 30 men with you, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon, wherefore before he dies. How many men? 30 men. Why 30 men? Because he was deep in that mire. You ever try to pull someone out of mud? Some of you men, how many of you ever tried to pull a vehicle or something out of mud? It's really, really hard. Why? Because it sucks you in. 30 men. The Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by cords into the dungeon of Jeremiah. What did they do, folks? Took 30 men, took a bunch of old rags, old shirts, old tunics, old filthy, rotten holes in them, and tied them together and made a cord out of them. Why did it have to be a cord? Because we needed strength to get this one individual up out of that mud. Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Put now these old clouts and rotten rags under your armholes, under the cords," and Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Somebody say amen. Come on now. This was that close to Jeremiah. Can you imagine? I would imagine that Jeremiah was about up to here in that mire. And I also want you to understand there are effects that happen to your skin from being in that type of atmosphere. That Jeremiah, now we all think it was wonderful. Jeremiah came up out of there. He's all good. Everything's good. The effects on his skin were toxic. But Jeremiah continued to do the work of God. I'm telling you, folks, this is a mindset that God is asking us to have. Are we willing to do this for God? That's what Jesus is asking us. He's saying, are you willing to suffer persecution for me? But God again keeps his word, and he delivers Jeremiah one more time. Now here's some takeaways that I believe that if Jeremiah were standing here with us right now, these are some things that I truly believe that he would say to us. Number one, don't think you're out of God's will when suffering comes your way. Because, you know, that's the very first thing that some of us, it goes through our minds when we have things that are happening to us. Well, I must be out of God's will. Maybe I didn't do something right. Here's the thing. Maybe you did do something right. Because the devil wants to come to us and say, you know, you are out of God's will. You need to stop what you're doing. You know, one of the things that I have found throughout the course of ministry that I've had in the last 40 years, when the Lord speaks to me to do something, as soon as I start to do it, and as soon as it starts to prosper, there's affliction, there's opposition. And early in my ministry, I really began to think, well, I must be out of God's will. I must not be doing it right. And the devil's right along to say, you're right. Stop doing that. But as I matured in the things of God, God says, continue doing what I've asked you to do. No matter what the persecution, no matter what the things that will happen to you. They may happen physically, they may happen emotionally, you might have individuals come after you, but you continue to do what God's asked you to do. This is called perseverance and it's called faithfulness. And Jeremiah would tell us that. Don't think you're out of God's will because of this suffering that comes your way. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. And yesterday, as I was in my office, I tell you, I just got down on my face and God just really began to minister to me. I poured out my heart to the Lord and I asked God to forgive me for my complaining of what was happening to me. Begin to praise God. Begin to thank God. When you know you are doing the will of God, continue to do it. No matter what comes your way. Go with me over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Peter writes this, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." So what does that tell you, folks? There's going to be some terror. There's going to be some trouble. Don't be afraid of that. And don't stop what you're doing for God when He's called you to do it. because there will be terror and there will be trouble. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that you falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. So much for this entire doctrine that says that you will never suffer, you will never be in any pain. Things will be peachy keen for you, Kathy, from here on out. Janet, don't you worry about a thing because you're never going to have anything happen to you. Listen, if you want that, if you want things peachy keen, just stop doing something for God. But you're going to miss the whole reward of what God has called for you. It is better to suffer for righteousness' sake. Number two that Jeremiah, as we take away from this, and this is going to sound really strange, but I believe that he would tell us to embrace our sufferings. Now, what's the first thing that we want to do when we're suffering? Get out of it. We want to get out of that. We don't want to be there. Jeremiah, if he was standing here today, I believe he'd say, embrace your sufferings. Embrace them for good instead of trying so hard to get out of them. Whose job is it to get you out of your sufferings and affliction? Is that your job? Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations. How many of us can truly say that we glory in our tribulations and our sufferings? And I'm not going to raise my hand and say, yeah, bring it on. I'm happy about that. But that's what God is asking us to do. What Jeremiah is saying to you, embrace the suffering. Because God has a purpose in it. There's a reason. Because the very first thing that we want to do when we enter into suffering, whether it's physical, emotional, anything that's coming against us, we want to say, God, get us out of this. But I want us to begin to thank God. Is there anything that can happen to you that God is not aware of as a believer? He says, I hold you in the palm of my hand. It's like I believe I heard Pastor Aaron say one time, you think God forgot about you or didn't know that was going to happen to you? He knows it. Embrace it and say, God, what do you have for me within the suffering? We glory in our tribulations, knowing that the tribulation works patience, and patience experience hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Embrace, embrace. And the Lord really convicted me of that yesterday because, you know, my heart was just, I want to get out of this. I want this gone. And after a week of laying in the bed, I'd wake up and I'd think every morning, this is going to be gone. And then I'd pound my fist on the table and I said, why is this not gone? I think the Lord wants us to turn around and say, what do you want to do in me during this time, God? What are you dealing with me with this? And I really had a wonderful time here yesterday with God. Just me and God pouring out my heart and asking Him to forgive me because of my impatience. The Lord says, I'm working in you. And really, even as Rick said, up to yesterday, I could not hardly even speak for more than a few seconds without coughing. But I want you to know God is faithful. He is faithful. And that's what God is teaching us. Number three, last point that Jeremiah would say, in the middle of your suffering, in the middle of your hurt, don't give up. Don't give up. Hold on and praise God. Hold on and praise God. Now, I do want to say this, that in many portions of Jeremiah, and even in those whole things when he was in that mire, we have no record in those chapters of him saying anything about being upset that he was there. And I thought, what a righteous guy. But then I got digging just a little bit deeper. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah was a man just like we are. And in chapter 20 here, just like how many of you remember Job, when we're tested, Job was complaining against God, and God finally says, Job, pull up your pants like a big boy, because I'm about ready to talk to you. Here we go. Jeremiah chapter 20. O Lord, verse 7. You have deceived me. You see that? He's talking to God. You think he's a little bit upset? I mean, how many of you would say to God, you've deceived me? And I was deceived. You are stronger than I am, and you have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For since I spoke, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach to me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but when the suffering gets so strong, and in our humanity, we say, that's it. I'm not doing it anymore. I quit, God. Now, I would like to tell you I have never been there before, but that's not the case. I have been there many years ago in frustration because I was not being asked to minister and to allow my gift to take place. And I finally told God, I'm done with you. How many of you know God didn't listen to me? He won't listen to that. He laughed. Said, really? Really? But Jeremiah was in the same spot. But look at this. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire. See, when God's called you to something, he's called you to ministry. He's called you to be a witness. That's a burning thing in your heart. He says, I can't get away with it. I was weary and forbearing, and I could not stop bringing this word of God. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, perhaps he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. What does he finally end up with? But the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. Jeremiah would say to us today, in the middle of your suffering, I don't care how horrendous it gets, if you're in the mire, if you're that deep, if you're up to here, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. And make a statement of faith. You are God. You are God. And you will keep your word. And I was about to close this message, and something else came to my heart. Here's the last point that I want to make. God will not forget the works of righteousness. God will not forget your works of righteousness. How many of you just recall from where we were in Jeremiah chapter 38 and 39 that Ebed-Melech came and lifted him up, went to the king? God will not forget our works of righteousness. He's not a God that forgets. And I want you to go over to Jeremiah chapter 39. And this was after now these armies of Babylon and Chaldeans begin to come in and they take over Jerusalem. Nebuchadnezzar takes over. And now Nebuchadnezzar's in charge. And the wonderful thing about it is, if we read in chapter 39, Nebuchadnezzar actually delivers Jeremiah and puts him in a good place. God used the enemy's king to put Jeremiah in a good spot. But talking about Ebed-Melech, look at verse 15. Now the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day, saith the Lord, and thou shalt be given to the hand of the man whom thou art afraid, shall not be given to the hand of the men of whom you are afraid, for I will surely deliver you. And thou shalt not fall by the sword, but your life shall be for a prey unto you, because you have put your trust in me, saith the Lord. Does God take care of his own? Does God forget the works of righteousness? He doesn't forget a one of them. That's the God that we serve. Jeremiah has brought us another word today. Will we receive it? Will we receive the word from God through Jeremiah? Father, thank you for these things that you have brought to our remembrance, and I thank you for this message. And I thank you, Father God, for being with us today. And I thank you, Lord, that you would give us a hope and give us an embracing and counting it all joy when we come into various trials and temptations, God. And when we are hurting and when we are enduring these things, God, that we embrace them because you are changing something in us. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor today. Pray that you would use the words that were spoken here today to make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Paul Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.